snail came through satellite. So it didn't come through the cable after I got the NBN. It is 10 minutes to six, a corker of a story for you next. What do you do in your spare time? Do you watch Netflix? Do you play sport? Read a good novel? What about trying to decipher a secret code sent by the Irish Republican Army in the early 1920s? Would you try and do that? My next guest not only attempted to do that in his spare time, he was successful. It's like a story right out of The Imitation Game. I'll be talking to Dr. Richard Bean next.
Sonia Feldhoff.
You're a romance novelist, so you obviously create situations. You may not want to talk about this, but does your husband sort of assume that some of the scenarios that you put in your books might be you playing out either your annoyance, frustrations or whatever in your real life?
Well, put it this way, the male characters in my books always cook dinner.
So maybe there's a bit of a dig there.
It's a bit of, yeah, a little bit of a dig there, a bit of fantasy.
Weekday afternoons from 2 on ABC Radio Adelaide.
Homeward Bound with Jules Schiller
on ABC Radio Adelaide.
Code breaking. It's an art that's been celebrated in a lot of recent movies, specifically about the Enigma machine, which of course was used by the German army in World War II. But codes have been used in all sorts of warfare right around the world, and trying to crack them, of course, is really important strategically. I did not know that the IRA used codes in the 1920s, that they existed, and that some had yet to be cracked. But my next guest did, and he managed to crack the code. He's a research fellow at the University of Queensland. He joins me now, Dr. Richard Bean. Welcome, Richard.
Hi, Jules.
So how did you find this code that the IRA was using in the 1920s?
Well, it all starts really with the Cryptos sculpture at the CIA in America. It's a famous sculpture with four encrypted codes on it. Three of them were solved by a fellow named Jim Galogli from the US, a computer scientist. And because he became so famous at cracking codes, people turned to him with all their uncracked codes. So there was a historian, Tom Mann, who came to him with these IRA ciphers he found in an archive at the University College in Dublin. And, you know, Jim Galogli made short work of them, all except one. And he wrote a book with Tom Mann, Decoding the IRA, that was published in 2008.
So you read this book and noticed that there was one code still uncracked.
Ooh. Yeah, so he put that there obviously as a challenge, you know, and he says, you know, if you crack this, let us know.
And so are you a cryptographer, Richard? What's your background?
I'm a mathematician. I've usually, you know, researched pure mathematics. It's more specifically something called combinatorics and statistics.
Okay, so how do you go about breaking a code?
Ah, okay. Well, first you have to know what kind of code it is. So there's two general kinds. There's transposition and there's substitution. So substitution's the kind you usually find in puzzle magazines where you've got an alphabet and all the letters just go to different other letters in the alphabet. So there's a mapping, but in this case, it was something called columnar transposition. So what you do is you have a keyword that you write along the top. Hmm. In this case, say it's monarchy, which is eight letters long, and you just write your message out in rows underneath the keyword. So in rows of with eight columns, and then you'll have probably some blank cells in the last row. And then you just rearrange the columns according to the order of your keyword. So with monarchy, it'd be just A-C-H-M-N-O-R-Y. And that's the basic principle behind these transposition ciphers that were in the book.
So you're looking for the keyword. And I should say that the code that you broke, it's just a series of letters that are grouped as words. Yep. It's G-T-H-O-O is one word, and then it's R-C-S-N-M is another, and then it's E-O-T-D-E. So I won't go through all of it, but that's what you're looking at. How do you then decide on what the keyword might be?
Well, as you said, they're written out in groups of five. So in this case, there were 51 letters. So the first thing you need to do is decide how long the keyword would realistically be. And out of the other 1,000 ciphers, the keyword or phrase was always length 6 to 15, and 12 was a very common length. So in this case, I just tried all the lengths from 6 up to 11 and then 12, and I assessed the likelihood of the output being English using statistics, and it got a better score at length 11 than anything else, which was a good indicator that probably the key phrase was of length 11.
So what was the word?
Actually, it's a bit more complicated than that. The reason that it couldn't have been solved by computer brute force alone was that there was a missing column. So it was actually supposed to be width 12. I've taken a look at what the word might have been. I only know the order of the letters. It's like I was given, you know, B, A, D, F, G, L, something like that. But something like Champion Thus,
okay,
from Thomas Mallory's Mort d'Arthur book is probably a likely candidate.
And so after all this, what did the message actually say that you deciphered, Richard?
It said, R.E. Gelignite, Scotland states that they raided and obtained some of this.
So what do you think it means?
Well, the context is really important. I was only able to solve it because I could see the word lignite appearing in the output. So it meant that, you know, gelignite was going to be in the final output. So what I would say is that these documents come from the archives of the IRA Chief of Staff from 1926 to 1936, Maurice Toomey. And these were the letters and telegrams and messages that he sent to his operatives in the field, or that they sent to him. So it was by both telegram and handwriting. And so I would say that it's talking about a Scottish IRA unit, and they would have raided a British Army base and got some gelignite for use in their future operations.
And finally, Richard, what's it like, that moment that you solve the code, that it all pieces together, a moment that most of us will never experience? How did you experience it?
Well, in this case, it was more of a process. Like, I thought I had the right answer, but it was really only when I started to see, like, all the columns lining up, and when I checked it with Jim Glogley, that, you know, he thought it was all right, that I knew I really had it. But it's quite exciting.
Well, I can imagine.
In the Cryptos sculpture, the third part, the plain text there is about Howard Carter opening the tomb of Tutankhamun for the first time by putting a little opening in the top left-hand corner. So maybe it feels a bit like that.
How long did it take you finally, Richard, from beginning to end?
About 14 months.
14 months? Well, the perseverance is amazing, Richard. And I know this story has made news around the world. Congratulations. I mean, you know, just to unlock a piece of history like that, and to spend 14 months on one phrase, it's quite an effort, and congratulations.
Thanks, Jules.
Dr. Richard Bean, he's a research fellow at the University of Queensland, and I'm guessing excellent at cryptic crosswords as well. It is almost time for the 6 p.m. news.